Why do we let them drive?
That's a good question.
Why do we let ladies drive? I don't understand. Rob, what I'm seeing a little notification saying that we're not streaming to locals.
I need to fix it right now. Okay. You talk and I'll fix this.
Yeah. Okay, so I know that was a very lighthearted video to start with. Unfortunately, we have some very dark materials to cover tonight. A couple of things though. We're about 50 subscribers away from 10,000. So I was hoping we were going to get there for tonight with Michael on air, because the first time we had you on, Michael, we had, I think, 3,500 or 4,000 subscribers.
No kidding.
Yeah. Like, our channel has expanded vastly since you coming on that first time, you know? Vastly, it's 10,000, but you know, it's more than doubled since you coming on that first time. And I would say you're definitely one of the people that helped us grow this channel. We're very grateful that you've been a part of it, man.
No, you guys have a fantastic program. And if I played a very small part in helping to drive traffic to your site, then God, praise be God, because I think that more people should be watching you. You guys are great.
I think most people will say like their favorite shows that we did were some of those, like, the local segments where we just go off script and we just like riff on Genesis and riff on the creation narrative and stuff. So yeah, it's definitely exciting getting you on. Unfortunately, we do have to get into discussing some pretty crazy stuff that you've been working on. Now, let me ask you something. What was the first report that you dove into? Like, what was the first thing that initiated the Lepanto Institute?
Wow. That's a big question. I'd been working at American Life League for about 7 years. And in 2009, my first real investigation into a Catholic organization was the Campaign for Human Development. Somebody sent us a tip and said, you know, you do all this work on exposing Planned Parenthood partners and things like that, but nobody's really looked at the Campaign for Human Development. You might want to take a look. And I said, okay, sure. And I looked up what organizations were getting funding from the CCHD. And very quickly, I found a bunch of organizations that were like directly in league with Planned Parenthood, that were promoting abortion as a ballot initiative. I mean, it was bold and it was stupid and it was obvious. And I was naive. I thought, gosh, this is a total oversight. The bishops must be completely unaware of what's really going on. I'd better inform them. And I put together a report. I put it out there. I sent letters to the bishops. And the next thing I know, I start getting hate mail from bishops going, you're attacking our ability to help Christ's poor and you hate the church. And da-da-da. I'm sitting there going, well, wait a minute. Where's this coming from? It was really weird. Now, I'm the kind of guy that if you walk up and punch me in the mouth because I asked you a question, well, now I'm wondering what you're hiding. Yeah. And I'm going to start looking in your garbage, and then I'm going to start, you know, skulking around your backyard and trying to figure out where your dead bodies are buried. Yeah. And that's kind of what happens. You know, they kept pushing and pushing. And I said, there's something else here. There's something going on. And I started looking into Catholic Relief Services. And very quickly, just on CRS's tax form 990s, they listed the organizations that they would send millions of dollars to. And I saw that they gave millions of dollars to an organization called Care International, which was in league with Marie Stopes International promoting abortion and contraception. They were giving funding to an organization called Population Services International, which was created by a pornographer. You know those Adam and Eve stores?
Yeah.
The guy that started those Adam and Eve stores is the guy that started Population Services International. He created Population Services International with the proceeds that he got from the Adam and Eve stores for the purpose of reducing fertility rates of people over in Africa. That's why he created Population Services International. CRS has given them millions of dollars. So I started digging and I found a bunch of stuff. And my boss told me, hey, look, we're not going to go forward with a report first. You need to go meet with the bishop, who's the head of CRS, and show him what you found. I said, okay. So I flew out to Tucson, Arizona, where Bishop Kakanis was, and I sat down with him. And at first, I don't think he even knew who I was. I don't think he had any clue why I was there. He welcomed me with open arms. Just everything about his body language was open and warm. And
what year was this?
This would have been 2010.
Okay.
And he sat me down in a chair and I opened up my laptop and I said, Your Excellency, I'd like to show you a few things. And I started showing him what I found that CRS was funding. And his arms back in the chair like this went very quickly to this. He was closed up tighter than a clam and he kept looking up at the clock like, how do I get this clown out of my office? And I mean, I'm a very observant person. So whenever I'm in the room with somebody, I'm reading their body language. I'm listening to what they say. I'm hearing the tone of their voice. And it was very clear that he was extremely uncomfortable with what I was showing him. And he started stammering and he said, well, CRS does a lot of good work. And I said, Your Excellency, I didn't fly 3,000 miles to pat CRS on the back. I'm bringing to your attention a matter of grave importance because CRS is partnering with the enemies of the church. And they're doing so and introducing those enemies to vulnerable people in Africa. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I take this very seriously. We're definitely going to be looking into this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is you gotta really put this in perspective. It's 2010. This is before. Yep. This is under Benedict.
Yeah, so
we're still in this. We still have this this idea that the church. I mean, right now, like, so I because what we're gonna get into now. I'm almost at a point where I think like people are so just disheartened and they're so used to it and desensitized to it that this stuff that you actually dug up is almost not going to be shocking and it should shock everybody to their core.
Right. No, it absolutely should. And it, I've been looking at this stuff for about 15 years now and it still shocks me. Yeah. I keep wondering when I'm going to get to that point where this doesn't surprise me anymore. But it still does. And it still upsets me and it still angers me. And I think that if I ever got to the point where it didn't, that's when it's time to quit.
Yeah.
Because I should never be so desensitized to the things that are a danger to souls that I should be numb to it. But the people that work at CRS, the people that work at the USCCB, they're entirely numb to these dangers to souls because they're not thinking in terms of the salvation of souls. They're thinking in terms of, well, how much money can we get to feed their bellies? That's their mindset. And it's completely upside down.
I think it's also, they see things on such a natural level. They're not even thinking of anything eternal. They're not thinking of anything spiritual. They're thinking, they actually do see the problem from a secular leftist perspective where it's, well, there's too many babies in these families. We have to end this. We have to get birth control to them. We have to teach like they're in the name of Catholic Relief Services, going and teaching your secular sexual education to third world countries. I mean, even Francis has spoken about ideological colonization. Like there's nothing worse than us forcing our Western values of birth control and abortion on these third world countries who actually do have somewhat of a blossoming faith in them.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And some of the bishops, because with this report that we just put out, we we sent a team of investigators into Africa. They went through, they talked to a bunch of bishops. They talked to a bunch of representatives of CRS and the different organizations that were out there under these particular projects. In talking to one of the bishops in Lesotho, the bishop said, I can't really vouch for CRS because I don't know what they're up to. They don't come consult with us. They don't ask, you know, what needs to be funded. They determine what projects need to be funded. They determine what projects they're going to implement. And they operate on their own initiative and they operate in their own community and they don't really collaborate with us. So I can't really vouch for CRS. That was his statement.
Yeah.
And it seems to be the case across the board that many bishops are completely unaware of what CRS is actually up to.
But yet they still take a collection up for them at Mass.
Well, in Africa, I don't know that they're taking up a collection for CRS because it's an American initiative.
Yeah.
So here in the United States, yeah, they're taking up the collection. Now, the bishops in the United States, they know what CRS is doing.
I've been reporting
on this for years.
Yeah.
And I've spoken with a number of good bishops. Bishop Sheridan of happy memory was very supportive of my investigations. And he was a good friend. And I would show him what I had discovered. He helped open some doors so I could talk to bishops. I even sat down with one of the bishops that was the head of CRS, and I showed him a video that CRS produced. It had CRS copyright. It had all of CRS's credits at the end saying, executive producer, CRS so-and-so, you know, translation done by so-and-so at CRS. All the credits were CRS. In the middle of this particular video, they were talking about a program called SILC, Savings and Lending Communities or something like that. And as they were talking about it, part of the project was that these SILC groups, these saving and lending communities, would put aside a certain amount of funds that would pay for these clinical health volunteers. And these clinical health volunteers would go around the community and, you know, address certain health needs among the women, including contraception. Now, they didn't mention the contraception in the video, but halfway through the video where the narrator is talking about what these clinical health volunteers are doing, he opens up a backpack and he pulls out a box and he sets it on the table. And you just see a woman standing there with her arm out and he's got this little vial. They don't show anything like injecting it or anything like that, but it's kind of an interesting charade. So I paused the video and I zoomed in as far as I could because I really wanted to know what that box was. It was Depo Provera.
What's that?
It's injected hormonal contraception.
Oh, wow.
And the box was Confiance. So Confiance is the Pfizer product of Depo Provera. And I blew it up. I looked up exactly what it was. I found a box of Confiance, which and identified it on the index of medicine on Pfizer's website, found out exactly what it was. And I showed it to this bishop and he shook his head and he looked at me and he said, you caught them red-handed. I said, okay, well, what are we going to do? He said, well, I'm going to talk to them about this. I said, okay, great. You let me know what they say. A month goes by, 2 months goes by.
Yeah.
The third month, finally he gets back to me and I said, well, what did they say? And he said, well, CRS is claiming that that wasn't their video. I said, you don't buy that. He said, it's plausible.
That maybe they bought stock video or something like that.
No. It wasn't even that. It was because all the videography had CRS's credit. It was their cameras and everything else in the credits. He said that CRS was telling them that, well, the same studio that produced this video also produced a USAID video, and they got the end credits all confused and mistakenly identified CRS in the end credits. That's garbage because it was all about CRS's aspect in this overall project. So no, this I don't buy that for a second, but that's the kind of excuse making that we get.
Well, I would say you got that at a certain time. I don't even think they even bother giving excuses anymore.
Now they just ignore us.
That's what I think is happening now. So like in this most recent investigation, What made you look into it? What were some of the crazier things in this investigation that really shook you?
So I'll start with the first document that got me set on this particular path. In 2019, I was looking for CRS documents. I just wanted to see what they were up to, and I was looking through their documents. And I found a series of documents that were promoting condom use. And I'll show you the one that really set us on this path. So here, this is the first page of a document. It's produced by CRS. It's you see up here, Four Children. That's the name of the project. Over here, it says Dreams. I'll get into that in a minute. And down here, it says Dreams Lesotho. On the inside cover, okay, the yellow is getting blotted out.
Green screen.
No, the yellow is getting blotted out by the green screen. Okay, so down here at the bottom, it's a 2018 Catholic Relief Services copyright. Okay, that's what it says. And it says that it's the contents are the responsibility of the Four Children Project, which was a CRS project being funded by USAID. On page 11 is you have these little activities. All right. So these activity sessions, and of course the highlighted portions are being it doesn't work. It looks like a hole in the page, but it says, read or show the picture, ask the girls to move to the risk or no risk sign. All right. So just to give you an idea, the name of the game was to say, okay, is this a risky activity or is this not a risky activity? So hugging or kissing and touching, is that risky or not risky? Or drinking alcohol and taking drugs, is that risky or not risky for getting HIV and AIDS? So that's the kind of question that they were asking. Well, then, and of course, it's not going to show up because I have it highlighted, but you can see the picture. They have this vaginal sex without a condom. Okay. And in this picture here, you see a boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. But do you see what you see in the background? That's two girls and that's two boys. Okay. And they're wondering, is that a risk or no risk activity? The answer key, identifying whether it's risky or not risky, vaginal sex without a condom is risky. Here's why. It says any sex can carry some risk unless both people know that they do not have HIV and are not having sex with anyone else. Used consistently and correctly, a condom is 98% effective at preventing HIV transmission. What does that tell you?
That it's 2% less effective than not having sex.
Yes. Yes.
But it tells you that their mindset is just totally not even attempting to teach anything Catholic.
Right.
It's not even an attempt. It's not even.
And I want to remind everybody.
It's not like they're teaching safe sex and saying, but really the church teaches this. They're just giving you the secular sex ed program.
Yep. Well, and here's the thing. Catholic Relief Services consistently tells the public, we don't do ABC programs, meaning abstinence, be faithful, and use a condom. They say, we only do abstinence and be faithful, A and B. C is done by other people, but we, Catholic Relief Services, because of our high standards and high morals and our Catholic identity, we don't do anything like that. It's, you know, so anybody that says that we do, they're liars. They say stuff like that.
Yeah.
Here's the counter to this. Page 19. Remember, this is a CRS produced document. Page 19. Under this activity, do you know the three ways to reduce the risk from getting HIV and from sex that are A, B, and C? A, B, and C. And then it says, when they have answered correctly, or if they cannot answer, show the A, B, and C cards. I'll just show you. The C card. That's the C card. That is from the CRS document. Okay. Wow. Again, this is absolute promotion of condom use. It's graphic in its description, and it's completely unacceptable from a Catholic standpoint. And yet, Catholic Relief Services, and to be clear, with regard to this document, CRS has been dead silent.
Yeah, of course.
They have nothing to say about that.
Were there ever any bishops that were, I mean, I know you said you had one that wound up being your friend, but were there any other bishops that were like, okay, we need to, was there any attempt to try and rein this stuff in by anyone?
Because, like, has any diocese cut off funding for them?
So Bishop Morlino, also of happy memory, was not taking up the CRS collection. So that's two bishops that I was friends with that have died that, were not taking up CRS. Bishop Strickland, before he was canceled, was not taking up CRS. And, you know, it's just, is in terms of the majority of the bishops, if they are not taking up CRS, they're very quiet about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of bishops will pat me on the back and say, you're doing good work. Keep going.
Yeah.
But I get zero, zero support from them in the public.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Michael, keep going, keep going. Then they deny they even know you.
Oh yeah. Well, but you know, Bishop Strickland, now that he's been canceled, I mean, he's on fire and, you know, God love him. He is doing a great service to the church by speaking out and speaking truth to power and being willing to put himself on the line. And he's been doing this. It's part of the reason why he got canceled. Yeah. But you know, the rest of the bishops, I think, look at that and they say, oh, we have our example.
I mean, we were talking before in the green room, even, and it's like, what are these guys even doing at this point? I mean, it would be better if they just kind of disappeared and just ran their diocese as a business leader and not even spoken publicly. I mean, you have Cardinal Dolan and Supich both coming out and publicly praising the Muslims. And Supich's thing was like, I'm looking forward to Catholic Muslim iftar or something. What is it? Okay, so we'll do Dolan's first. It's just play it real quick, Rob. Let's just see.
Hey, folks, Cardinal Timothy Dolan here. Appreciate your company. Hope your Lent's going well. We're way over the halfway mark. Anyway, does it dawn on you that Lent and Ramadan and Passover always occur close to each other? Actually, this year's a little bit of an anomaly because Passover is a little bit more distant from Holy Week and Easter than it usually is, but they all always happen within 2 or 3 weeks apart. And you wonder why. The why is because they all take place in the spring. And the spring is the time of rebirth. Spring is the time of the triumph.
This isn't even the one I was thinking of, Rob.
Okay. And that, of course, is what Good Friday and Easter Sunday is about. That's what Passover is about. That's what Ramadan's about. The renewal of God's life.
Yeah, this isn't the one I was talking about, Rob. There was one where he was just like talking just about Muslims. Like, yeah, I don't know. But even go to Supich's. Like, so, okay, so happy to be at the CIOGC's Muslim Catholic Iftar in Libertyville tonight with Imam Azfar Uddin and Bishop, I don't even, whatever, Bartosik, to break the daily fast observed by our Muslim brothers and sisters. What is a Muslim Catholic iftar?
That's a new one on me. I have no idea.
Are these, I'm wondering what is, I mean, I don't think there's a bigger impediment to evangelization than these men. These men are the very thing.
Oh, so the iftar is the breaking of the fast.
Oh, is
so
that
what they're saying? It was like a Muslim Catholic event where Muslims and Catholics were getting together to break the fast at the end of the evening.
So Dolan, the original tweet I wanted to show was Dolan talking about how we can learn stuff from our Muslim brothers because
you're
muted.
Stop right there.
Yeah,
because there is no such thing as Muslim brothers and sisters.
Maybe 100%.
Maybe in a human sense, that because we share humanity together, that we are brothers and sisters in humanity, but they are not our spiritual brothers and sisters, period.
Yeah.
The only people that are brothers and sisters are those who are brothers and sisters in Christ because of baptism, period. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that we share any kind of spiritual brotherhood.
Yeah, a lot of people think everyone is a child of God, and that's not correct.
Not at all.
Not every you become a child of God at spiritual adoption in your baptism. It's a very strange thing. Like, every human is created in the image of God, but not every human is a child of God. You become a child of God. You receive divine adoption at baptism.
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to that teaching that Bishop Schneider got so much flack for in Credo, about how we get dignity from baptism, from grace. Yep. Like, the whole notion of human dignity is kind of really, well, it's new. It's novel. It didn't really exist before Vatican II. Yeah, we're, like you said, we're made in the image of God, and that gives us like an inherent natural dignity, but our moral dignity, our moral worth comes from baptism.
Right.
Well, yep. Luckily, Fernandez is giving us a new document on human dignity very soon. All right. So there, you were showing me in the green room some pretty horrific things that we actually said we couldn't show on screen, because some of the things that they show are borderline. I mean, it's an artist's rendition of something pornographic. And I'm like, this is on the Catholic Relief Service report.
Yeah. So let me show you on screen here. This is something that we picked up in Cameroon from CRS's office. Okay. You can see CRS's logo right there. It belongs to CRS. It's a training manual for kids aged 10 to 17. All right. In the acknowledgement section, it talks about how this was developed specifically for the KIDS project, which stands for Key Interventions to Develop Systems and Services for Orphans and Vulnerable Children. It is a CRS-led project. CRS got a grant from the federal government to implement this program. This document was created specifically for this program. And then in the acknowledgement, it even says, "We would first like to thank Dr. Leslie Chingang for his support throughout the review and editing of Wedi 1B When You Grow." Dr. Leslie Chingang was the chief of party. In other words, he was the CRS representative in Cameroon who was in charge of all of CRS's projects in Cameroon, which shows CRS was intimately involved in the development of this particular program. Now, the page that I showed you was with regard to female anatomy and signs of fertility, and it showed a rather open and graphic image of female anatomy, and I'll just let your imaginations go with that. But a few pages later, and I want to show this to you, there's
this is all up on your website, right?
Oh yeah, this is all in the report, okay? But starting on page 22 is this activity, okay? And the activity is, it's supposed to, the objective, learning objectives are these: define HIV and describe its effects, define AIDS and describe its effects, understand the difference between HIV and AIDS, and number four, state methods for safer sex. Okay, that is a stated goal in this CRS document.
A document for 10-year-olds.
Here's what it says on page 6. I want to show it to you on the screen so you know I'm not making it up. Okay. Number 6, ask the students for examples of safer sex. Discuss the following methods for safer sex: abstinence, hugging, holding hands, kissing, and masturbation, which they define as touching your private parts, are also safe practices. This is CRS's document, CRS's logo on the front cover. We got it from CRS's office in Cameroon. They are absolutely promoting masturbation in this document. Now, here's why this is important. In 2015, I put together a report on a program that CRS had introduced in Rwanda. It was called My Changing Body. And in this document, My Changing Body, it was supposed to be the pilot program. They were testing it out in the field. And I got a copy of it. And I looked through it, and it promoted masturbation throughout the entire thing, as well as promoting contraception, as well as promoting Planned Parenthood and a bunch of Planned Parenthood affiliates. And I put out this report saying, hey, why is CRS promoting a document that promotes masturbation? By the way, in my report, I also found a USAID document that cited metrics. It actually showed how many kids' attitudes had changed with regard to masturbation after going through this course. CRS completely denied having had anything to do with masturbation. They said CRS did not normalize or promote masturbation in this program. Though that is a direct quote. That's what they said in their response to this program. I dropped it. I figured, well, they talked to somebody on the ground and I didn't. Well, in this document, it says right here, and I'll show you, that this is adapted from the manual My Changing Body.
Yeah.
Adapted from My Changing Body.
Let me ask you something. So you know how in, okay, so you see in America, the adoption situation, it basically went from, the Catholic Church used to handle like 90% of adoptions in this country. You know, it would be the Catholic Church and some Protestant groups would mainly handle the adoption agents situation. Then states started passing laws saying that you had to allow same-sex couples to adopt. So the Catholic Church had to make a decision. Okay, we either get out of the adoption game or we have to, you know, get rid of the name Catholic, right?
Right.
Do you think that the, do you think that America, the American government is putting like strings attached to these contracts that go out that say, if you don't teach the ABC method, you will not get these grants to go and work in these countries. So this is, I mean, I would think that's what it is. So this is all just seems like one big money grab.
1000%. I'll break it down for you. CRS pulls in about $200 million a year just from people donating in the pews or bequeathing gifts or, you know, whatever. So $200 million a year comes from faithful Catholics. $900 million comes from the federal government.
Government grants.
Okay. That's almost 80%. That's almost 80%. So when you when you pay the piper, you're going to dance to his tune, is how the saying goes. And CRS is getting money from the federal government. And yes, it does have to implement what the government tells them to. Yeah. That first document I showed you, it said that it was part of the Dreams Project. That was one of the targets that we had in going into Lesotho and in Zimbabwe, because CRS was the lead implementing partner in making sure that Dreams got implemented in those two countries. The Dreams Project was created by PEPFAR. It was actually created by Dr. Deborah Birx. And you probably know her name from a certain incident that happened 4 years ago.
Yeah, she was in charge of, she basically did
COVID. Be careful what you say.
Yeah, she did. You're right.
Be careful what you say. Yeah. Look her up. You'll figure out who she is pretty quick.
She was Fauci's sidekick. Let's put it that way. She, which I think she actually was more powerful than Fauci. Like she was directly next to, she was directly under Vice President Pence. Vice President Pence pinned her and said, "You're going to run this whole response." And every single school that was shut down, every single thing that they did was done at her behest, because her whole mindset was not one single case. And she was like psychotic about it. It was crazy.
So she was the one that initiated the Dreams Project.
Okay.
And the Dreams Project established as an overall goal the increased use of a mix of contraceptives. So they wanted people to take the pill and also to use condoms. They wanted people to be taking the pill and also using injectable hormonal contraception. That kind
wear
of
a thing. Mask and also social distance.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds exactly like it.
So the idea was to get them to increase the contraceptive method mix.
Yeah.
And they established what they called a core package of deliverables. And the core package were that it was non-negotiable. They were requirements as an aspect of this overall grant that they had to implement it. CRS, in its own documentation, as it was implementing the Dreams Project, they put out a chart and they showed in this chart, this is how the overall Dreams project is being implemented. And over on one side, it has a little box that says increased contraceptive mix and condoms. But they had this other area all shaded in a blue circle that kind of outlined where their project area was established so that CRS could say, oh, no, we only do this little part. We're not doing all of this other stuff. Here's the problem. As we were investigating this project and talking, we even spoke with the I think it was actually the chief of party there in Zimbabwe. And he confirmed to us that there is a layering of the project, that every single partner is responsible for ensuring that every aspect of the project is implemented. And if somebody is being referred to another project area, they have an obligation to fulfill that referral. So CRS, they get a girl comes in and they put together a case problem and the girl says, yeah, and I'm also sexually active. So CRS in their little case management file says, okay, well, we can't do anything about that, but the people you need to talk to are over there. And they refer her to those other people. That's direct participation. I mean, there's no two ways about this. This is direct involvement in the propagation of contraceptives, and CRS is an integral part of that. It's grossly immoral for CRS to have even agreed to be a part of this project. And yet they're getting millions of dollars from the federal government to implement it.
What's the, so CRS and the CCHD are two totally different things, or do they work together? They're totally different.
So CRS is the International Aid and Development Agency belonging to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. They're the ones that go into other countries and they drill wells. They, you know, put out malaria nets and give out all kinds of anti-malaria drugs, that kind of thing. And they set up programs like the ones that I've been describing. Campaign for Human Development was established in 1970 for the sole purpose of financing Saul Alinsky's community organizing groups.
Oh, man. You got communism through the CCHD, and then you have this Marxism over. Yeah, it's just so crazy, man.
So at the same time, we're removing the prayer for the conversion of the Jews during Good Friday. We're funding Saul Alinsky.
No, it's not just that. The USCCB actually ordered every church. Well,
I know, but I'm talking in 1970.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What did you say you wanted to show, Michael?
I want to show one more thing with regard to this project. And I want to encourage people, go to our website and familiarize yourself with the report, because the information is all sourced. We have audio files of the interviews that were done, so we know for a fact that this is what was going on. But go to the website, just lepontoin.org, because on the front page, you can access the report that we put together. What is the distribution of their funding? How much from direct donations and how much from the government? So earlier I mentioned this, about 80% of their funding comes from the federal government and the other 20% come from people in the pews.
Now, could they take a smaller cut from the government and say, hey, we're still going to put the malaria nets up, we're still going to dig wells for water, but we have to step out of the game of, you know, the AIDS prevention or something? Like, could they cut their contract up like that so that they actually, like, if there was, let's say, somebody who actually wanted to do this the right way, would they be able to? Do you have any idea on that? Or you think it all comes as a package deal?
I would say no. And the reason I say that is that as a recipient of federal funds, there is one very important thing with regard to Catholic charity that is completely barred. They're forbidden from doing this, and that's to evangelize.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to talk about Jesus. They're not allowed to talk about conversion. They're not allowed to talk about salvation. They're only allowed to talk about the things that are part of the project. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah. So there's absolutely no way they could do this in a morally, according to Catholic teaching.
Right.
Robert,
I was going to say it's ironic because they're not allowed to evangelize the Catholic faith, but they are evangelizing the secular faith.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. And as an agency of the federal government, as opposed to being an agency of the church, again, when you when you have your food trough being filled by a certain individual, you can't serve two masters, right?
Yeah.
CRS likes to claim that they can. Here's one thing I want to show you. One more thing I want to show you from what we discovered in Cameroon. Okay. This is a document. It was the kids project I was telling you about, key intervention to develop systems and services for orphans and vulnerable children. Down here, you can see Catholic Relief Services' logo because they were the lead on this particular project. In this, it talks about how the target people that they want to go after in this particular project or serve in this particular project. It has a bunch of different people here, but then at the bottom, it says at-risk children, such as children of female sex workers, adolescents, internally displaced persons, and those identified in the health facility and community. And what they're talking about is the need for sexual and reproductive health services and HIV care and that kind of thing. Well, in this document, it lists their partners. And here you can see, right, there it is. Nope, there it is. Renata, okay? The National Network of, or the, what is that? National Network of Aunties, okay? That's what it stands for.
Yeah, Association de Aunties or something.
Okay. And here it says, without the
faith-based.
Without the faith-based, and then over here it's HFS, Health Facilities, Catholic. In other words, these are partners that are not affiliated with their faith-based health facilities. So they're a little freer to do certain things. Yeah. All right. There are a couple of others that they mention also. SWAA, which stands for the Society of Women and AIDS in Africa. There's Horizons Femmes. And there are a few others. But we sent people to these various offices to try and figure out what these groups were up to and what they were about. Renata. The logo for Renata is an icon for abortion. It's a pregnant woman with an X through her belly. And if you can find a logo, maybe go to Facebook. I know that they're on Facebook and look up Renata Network of Aunties, that kind of thing. I can't remember exactly how they label it, but you'll see it's in orange. But this organization. So
wait, hold on. I'm sorry, Mike. I hate cutting you off. I'm sorry. But CRS has been up to no good for a long time. Haven't handed in an envelope in years. But if it wasn't for Michael, I probably still would be handing in that envelope. Like it has been your reporting over the years on this stuff that actually has.
There it is.
Yeah, that you're breaking these things down is what has. I always am very. That second envelope comes, that second basket comes around. I'm like, no way, man. That's not a chance.
As kids, you know, growing up in with CCD and everything, it was a pretty traditional parish. We always still had those rice bowls,
yeah.
CRS rice bowls.
Yep. So. And by the way, here's a real big irony about those rice bowls. You get these kids, you get these old ladies, they're scrimping and saving and putting their change in these rice bowls and they're turning them in. Do you know that those rice bowls annually collect maybe about $6 million, maybe $7 million? You want to know how much the top 8 paid employees at Catholic Relief Services makes?
I'm going to guess.
About $3 million.
Yeah, I was gonna say combined. Yeah, they probably make about
eight people.
How many? Eight people. Yeah, they probably make $400,000 each, something like that.
They average about $250,000 a year. The CEO makes over $500,000.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
So Renata, the thing about Renata, they are taking girls for abortions. In their own literature, they admit that they take girls for abortions. There, you can see. Pregnant woman, X through the belly.
That might be the most evil symbol for a. I can't even.
Oh, but I mean, it's the cross, but used satanically.
Right, it's a literal icon for abortion, and what they're doing. So they admit that they take girls for abortions. They lobbied their government to change the laws with regard to abortions. Now, here's the thing. They were getting money from CRS back as far as 2019. And that was while the Mexico City policy was still in place, which means CRS was in direct violation of grant code from the federal government.
Can you describe the Mexico City policy?
The Mexico City policy was created by President Reagan. It flip-flops back and forth depending upon whether we have a Republican or Democrat president. But when we have a Republican president in office, it always gets put back in play. And what it does, it forbids federal funding from going to organizations that provide, promote, or support abortion. Okay. That means political lobbying. That means taking girls to receive abortions. That means promoting abortion in their own literature. So federal funding is forbidden to go to organizations like that.
Yeah.
CRS gave hundreds of thousands of dollars to RENATA, an organization that in its literature, in its actions, and in its lobby efforts was promoting and supplying abortion to young girls.
Yeah, if you donate to that basket, you are giving money to help end pregnancies. So this is a good question. So a lot of us have already stopped giving to these Drives of Paris level. Beyond that, what, like, is there anything we can do about this stuff, or is it just really just bringing it to light because it's the best disinfectant?
So it's multi-layered. Number one, you've got to familiarize yourself with the issues themselves. Unfortunately, Father Alar put out a video, I think it was yesterday, where he talked about, the Lepanto Institute put out this report about Catholic Relief Services, and he was mostly talking about Catholic Charities. And he would go on and on and on about how there's a difference between CRS and Catholic Charities. And he said, and I have no reason to doubt the Lepanto Institute's report. And okay, I'm very happy about that. But then he said that, but you know, this connection to Planned Parenthood, do you shop at Walmart? Do you use a Verizon phone? Do you buy Subways at Subway, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Well, those organizations are also supporting Planned Parenthood, so you're indirectly contributing the way CRS does. That's not what our report says. Mm-hmm. And he completely missed the point of what we were saying in our report. CRS was giving money to an organization that was helping girls obtain abortions. It's completely different. Okay. As part of their referral network, they were sending girls to RENATA for sexual and reproductive health services. This is completely different. This is not some indirect, well, you know, they had to work with somebody who has a connection to Planned Parenthood somewhere down the line. No, this was CRS themselves saying, hey girls, this organization's really good. They'll help you.
Plus when you buy a product from Walmart or Verizon, you're paying that money for that product specifically. Whereas when you're donating to CRS, you're donating to
the product. The product is the thing that they're doing. That is the product.
Now, CRS's response to that would be, oh no, Catholic donations have never gone to any of these organizations. And technically they would be right because the funding for those particular organizations coming from the federal government.
Yeah.
What you're doing when you donate, you're supporting the infrastructure of the Baltimore headquarters of Catholic Relief Services and the apparatus of Catholic Relief Services itself. That's what you're paying for. You're paying for their literature. You're paying for their advertising. You're paying for their slicks and their mailings and all that kind of stuff.
Vince makes a good point too. Verizon doesn't have Catholic in their name.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So with regard to RENATA, CRS, as I pointed out, they gave funding to this group. This organization, it's a violation of the Mexico City. Oh, that's what I was going to tell you, is the Mexico City policy forbids that kind, any kind of, even just passing through the grant. It forbids it. So CRS is in violation, and yet they continue to operate as they are.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm at a point where it's just so, I just can't believe where we are, man. I really can't. Like,
for crying out loud, we have a Pope who's going around telling people we can bless same-sex couples.
It's just unbelievable.
Is this really such a surprise?
Not just that. There's a book. It was like an autobiography coming out where the first clip they're releasing is him talking about how good it is that civil unions are able to happen so that the people can that are living in loving relationships are able to receive the same benefits as married couples. It's like, how is this where we are, man? I just don't get it.
So when I was in college, wasting my time playing games and being kind of a bonehead, my friends and I actually had a computer game called Darklands, and it was a cool game. Now, the relevance of this will make sense in just a moment. The game, it was created in Germany, and it takes place prior to the Protestant revolt. So there's a very Catholic character to the game. In fact, you create a party of characters, you go from city to city, you meet with the bishop, you meet with the local monastery, you gain grace, you can gain relics to help you along the way. You
wait, what game is this?
It's called Darklands. It's a fantastic game.
What's it on? Where can I play it?
It was on the old PC. We're talking like
DOS old or yeah, like 90. Okay. Yeah. So in other words, you can't find it today.
You're not getting it on your PlayStation. Yeah.
But this game was fantastic. It was great. Well, at some point in the game, as you're going through and you go into certain villages, you'll talk to villagers and they'll give you, a quest to go on, or they need help with something. And then sometimes you'll meet up with a bunch of villagers that are kind of off, and they'll say, well, we're getting ready for a great feast in honor of our favorite saint, Saint Simon Magus.
Oh, and you go, game.
Saint Simon Magus?
As in the
Simon Magus. What? Oh wait, that's from Acts. I have to cut in here because I had some Protestant the other day telling me like the Catholic Church was founded by Simon Magus or Magus.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, yeah, he was a necromancer and that's who started the Catholic Church. I'm like, wait a minute. This is the craziest conspiracy theory I've ever heard. What are you talking about? All right, go ahead, continue.
So The point is that, and then of course, when you finally realize who these people are, they're a bunch of Satanists, and then you have to fight the villagers, and incidentally, they're getting ready to commit infanticide, and you get to rescue the babies. I mean, there is nothing to hate about this game. It's a wonderful game.
Yeah.
Well, every single time I talk to somebody from CRS or the CCHD, or I meet with one of these errant bishops like Bishop Kikanus, I keep waiting for him to tell me that he's getting ready to prepare a feast for his favorite saint, Saint Simon Magus.
That's where we get the term simony from. Vince is right.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's where we get the term simony from, where you're selling offices in the church.
Well, not also, just selling offices, but selling Catholic things. So
yeah,
Simon Magus wanted Saint Peter to sell him the possibility of the miraculous.
Yes.
Sell me the secrets. He thought it was some Gnostic magic. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was. Sell me what the church teaches.
So that's where we get the word simony from. Also, Stephen Young, Ruslan followed me on Twitter today, and I'm hoping to get him on soon. I don't know what made him follow me, but I'm pretty rough on the Protestants. I don't know what made him. We'll see. But all right. So was there anything else from the report you think we should know about, Michael? Or was this, because we really gave you guys the too long didn't read version of it, where he didn't. I saw your press conference was like 2 hours long. You guys really went through every little detail. I wanted to make sure people understood the main points. And people really, you guys have to stop giving to, like, even when you give to your parish, what's the best way to give to your parish? Would you say like specifically writing a check for a specific, like ask the priest specifically what he needs money for? Yep.
You bet. Oh, and somebody had asked, well, what can we do? And the answer is, first, familiarize yourself with the report. Go to the website, learn what's in the report, get the details, because the details are important. A lot of people, like, God bless Father Alar, but they get some of the details wrong, and they make statements regarding our report that aren't true. Things that aren't even contained in the report. So please be sure you're precise, know the information specifically, and then sit down with your parish priest and say, Father, please explain to me how this can possibly be a moral organization for us to contribute to. How can we morally be complicit in financing this organization?
Send this show to your priest.
Yes. Yeah, send it to your priest.
Send this episode to your priest. Say, hey, look, you should look, you're sending out that basket for Catholic Relief Services every year. I mean, you really should at least know what you're doing, and then leave it on the priest. Maybe he'll right. end the collection and argue with his bishop about it. You never know.
And then try and get a meeting with your bishop personally. Tell your bishop you want to talk to him about finances in the church.
Yeah.
You don't have to be specific, but bishops love to talk about money. There's a picture of Bishop Seitz, the Black Lives Matter bishop. You remember him?
He was kneeling at the
Yeah, he was kneeling. He had the sign. I photoshopped the sign so that I erased the Black Lives Matter, and I just left the BLM, so it said bishops love money. That's actually really good. But that's the truth. Most bishops love to talk about money, and they're happy to talk to people about money. So, you know, try to set up a meeting with your bishop and say, I want to talk to you about finances in the church. I want to talk to you about, you know, how I can possibly be contributing to the church, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And you're not lying. You can't lie to him, right?
You are going
to
be talking
about vague enough that maybe his interest will be intrigued.
Right. And then you get in the door and you have the report in hand and you say, Your Excellency, I want to show you something because this is what's keeping me from giving contributions to the diocese. I don't want this kind of funding going to Catholic Relief Services. And I hope you will withdraw from CRS because it is a scandal, not only to the pew-sitting Catholics, but absolutely to the people that are supposed to be served by the church in Africa, except they're being served to the wolves of the world over there.
Man. Okay. So we're going to jump over to locals now on locals tonight. You couldn't get the stream up at all. You can't start a new one.
Once we go live, I would have to start a new stream, set it up on locals. We'd have to end the stream and jump over that other stream.
I think we should do that.
Okay. You talk.
I think we should do that because there's a couple of things. I want to talk to Michael about, Lepanto, the Battle of Lepanto, but also I was talking today that the Long Island Medium came up and I am godfather to her nephew. And I can't really talk about it on here because it's personal family stuff and God forbid they saw the clip and I don't want it all getting blown up. But some of the damage that woman has done spiritually to that family. So because I see people, I saw a Catholic who went on the show who was talking to me today. He's like, no, you don't understand what she told me. This woman has some very warped ideas and she claims to be Catholic and stuff. So we're going to discuss that a little bit. There's also a really interesting clip of Eric Weinstein and somebody else having a conversation about Vatican II and the Latin Mass that we can maybe play that clip. So we're going to end this stream. If you guys
keep aren't talking for a few minutes,
if you guys aren't subscribed to our locals, go over to our locals. Also my friend Don, who I go to Mass with, his wife is doing a pilgrimage with the eclipse. So it's called the Eclipse Pilgrimage of Mercy. X marks the spot. So total solar eclipse across North America. So they're doing a novena of the Divine Mercy on Good Friday to April 6th. So go to NomenChristi.org. That's her website if you guys are interested. She's been on a couple of other radio shows. She wanted to come on here, but I told her we're too misogynist to have women on the show. But I'm kidding. I love Kiara. She's very sweet. I see her every Sunday at Mass. But, yeah, guys, go check out her website if you're interested. And how are we looking, Rob?
Give me a minute.
Do you have a commercial message that you're supposed to be reading that you always forget to read?
No, we should actually do that. Actually, you know what? Maybe we do have
talk about locals.
No, but first off, go and subscribe to Lepanto Institute YouTube channel. Michael, what do you have to plug?
I highly recommend you sign up for our newsletter. That's where we get most of our information out. We are in the process of actually revamping the website. We have a new system that we are integrating a new email system into the website itself, which will make it a lot easier for us to ensure that our emails are not getting caught up in spam filters. Our emails are not getting overused. And it's just there are so many things to the algorithms that go in. It's all magic to me. But whatever the bottom line is, in talking to the people that I've been working with, they are setting up a new email system that is super secure. It'll make absolutely clear that the email should go through. It's not going to get caught up and all the different webs that the web has to stop the email. So sign up for our newsletter. That's the bottom line. That's what I'm trying to say.
So are CRS and Catholic Charities linked?
No, they're not the same. Catholic Charities, in fact, is not even the same from diocese to diocese. Each individual bishop has his own Catholic Charities, and that particular Catholic Charities has its own distinct identity. Bishop Slattery.
So you could have a good Catholic Charities in your diocese.
That's correct. Yes. Oh, wow. In fact, Bishop Sheridan in Colorado Springs, I'm good friends with the guy that was the executive director for Catholic Charities in Colorado Springs under Bishop Sheridan. And they did great things there. Bishop Slattery used the Catholic Charities in his diocese as the primary conduit for pro-life activities for the diocese itself. So there are bishops who use Catholic Charities for very good things, but then you get others like, the bishops along the border, let's say, that are using Catholic Charities as primarily a government conduit for illegal activities, and that they are encouraging people, because of the places that CRS or Catholic Charities is setting up, they're encouraging people to come in through illegal entry points instead of going to the legal entry points. And the question you have to ask is, well, why does anybody, if the legal entry points are pretty much open, why do they want to circumvent the fence and come in illegally? And the answer is because they have something to hide.
And there's money involved.
Well, not just money involved, but the individuals coming across the border have something to hide.
Yeah.
They don't want to be in the system because they've got something that they're doing that could get them caught if they're in the system.
Yeah. Well, I would say even Catholic Charities, though, like the whole idea, you see all the bishops coming out in favor of immigration, and even they're all talking about, no, you have to be open to it. It's because there's so much government money that gets given to the churches to help support the huge amounts of migrants coming into all of these cities. It's just another way for them to launder money into their program, because there's so few people in the pews these days donating. I would say 80% of the bishop's money that they're dealing in is government money from these contracts.
Right. Yeah. So these organizations, they're mostly government agencies. They're not really Catholic agencies, but CRS is absolutely different from Catholic Charities. Now, they share a lot of similar goals. They share a lot of similar attributes. They're absolutely all on board with the sustainable development goals, which are communist. They're all on board with the whole climate change nonsense. But they're different organizational structures.
The Democratic Party in prayer.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to jump over to locals. We got some stuff to get into over there. So we'll see you guys over there.
I posted the link for everyone in the live chat to go over there. Michael,
okay, I have to send Michael the new StreamYard link.
I put that in the private chat.
Oh, so if you can
copy it from there. And then we'll all jump over there as soon as we're done here.
Okay.
All right, Michael, I'll text it to you too, just if that's
easier. I got it.
Oh, you got it? Okay.
Got it. Yep.
All right. We'll see you guys later. Rob, take us out.